Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
G'day legends, welcome back to Beers and Breakevens, heading into round 8, Anzac Day, not too far away, so we will be getting this content out to you as quickly as we possibly can, a little bit earlier than usual for a big round of footy coming in. How good is Anzac weekend, Timmy?
I love Anzac weekend, Roo, and an early drop of the podcast, mate, a bit like your Supercoach side. Normally you drop off later in the season, but an early drop this year.
Mate, I finished stronger than the very best of them, and I'll be finishing strong again this season. Don't you worry.
Even as I was saying that, I'm like, I have to take this opportunity on what you just said, but I'm like, you actually do finish strong. So, Anzac weekend could be my favourite regular season. No, in fact, it is my favourite regular season down to the year. I think the NRL put on such a great weekend for the Anzacs. All the pre-game ceremonies, they do them so well. I think that Dragons Roosters fixture, I've been to it a ton of times. If you haven't been to it, get out to it because it's one of the great – it's my favourite game to attend regular season of the year.
I was at the Anzac Day game and I want to say it was 04, maybe 05. And I think it was the first ever time they brought the chopper into the SFS. That was a special moment. Hour and a half later, Matty Head's chipping over the top. Matty Cooper's, I was in that corner where Matty Head kicked that goal. Incredible stuff. And, mate, I believe this won't shock you in the slightest. The New Zealand Warriors, they haven't done much wrong over the last 2 years. And I'm hearing that their pre-game Anzac performance is going to be a fucking all-timer. Apparently they've hit it out of the park.
I saw a quote, biggest ceremony in the world.
Yeah. Wild.
Yeah, Gallipoli, step aside. The Wires have got you covered.
The Wires are going to deliver. How good. Yeah. Shout out to the New Zealand Warriors doing good things.
How many tries do you think Darlin Watene Lesniak is going to score after this ceremony?
Well, he pretty much should have brought a fucking lotto ticket last week after he scored one. Geez, you got out of jail there. We'll get to it, but my God.
Oh, Darlin scores on the Warriors' shape, some of the best right-hand side shape in the competition. Oh, he got lucky. The Warriors doing exactly what the Warriors do.
He snuck in by a bee's dick in the one opportunity he had that entire game. You know you got lucky, you little prick. And I was filthy.
Where is the Stallion? Why is it not by my side?
Especially when old mate fucking Zach Lomax downgraded by 10 points. And I was just like, you're fucking joking. Now, speaking of doing good things, we have got the champion of this week.
Oh, please.
The top dog, as she keeps calling herself. She keeps barking at me and Timmy every time we talk to her. It's incredibly fucking rude and tone deaf. But here she is, Kathmandu. How are you?
What's up, boys? Look. What can I say? Here we are again. I'm just taking in all the advice and I'm doing the right things with it. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to tell you that.
As a rook taking in all this advice and listening to two seasoned veterans of NRL Supercoach, what percentage of mine and what percentage of Guru's advice would you say you've taken so far this season?
What I will say is I may have won, and we will get into this in more detail. I may have won between you two last week, but overall I don't think I scored very well. I don't think any of us scored very well last week because my overall rankings went down and la, la, la. But
oh, wow.
I am a little I do think that both of you bring great knowledge to the table, but I'm a little bit disappointed at the trades that I made last week, and they were heavily influenced by you, Guru.
Fair. Shock. What trades did you make last week?
Well, I got rid of Bostock, and I already felt my gut was...
Oh, fuck, here we go. Here comes Nicho Hindsight. Yeah, hit us with it.
I said he was going to have five linebackers. Yeah.
Did I not say, and it's on video, that I really struggled with the idea of getting rid of Bostock? There was a bit of an emotional connection there. I feel like we've ridden the waves of being new to the game together. You know, we're both young and excited.
Lesson one in Supercoach, Rook, back your gut.
Yeah. And it's no hate to anyone, but I...
Just Guru.
It's a trade I wish I didn't make.
Unfortunately, outside of myself, the CBA Center of Excellence is built on excuses and fingers being pointed,
outside of myself,
which just
said.
Kills me, absolutely kills me. not bad, Kat, not bad. It is actually funny. She beat me and Tim in rank. We both won our about even class. She lost hers this week. So,
well, do you want me to dive into
– Yes,
I never know this result going in, so I'm excited.
Yeah, because they have Guru status in the app. If we need to just clarify why I have to update them, it's because they have Guru status, so they can't – they're your part of how many leagues? It's just so many.
About 8,000.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's also it's called Tim Williams status, by the way. He's had it longer than me.
Oh, I see. So,
he's come over the top of me there.
Yeah, it wasn't me that said it. I love it, but it wasn't me that said it.
That's true.
So I have to update them on the About Even group. So that's obviously – Timmy, Guru, Tom, Eddie, Tobler, Cody, you name it. So now there were some comments last week on how I just did not know who was who in this league. I have clarification now. Hines Hounds is Thomas Tobler. South Coast Shucks, we were right, it's Sebo. And then Wazzabum and Mean Machine are two teams we've been bringing up. They are just placeholders. So I don't know who is making trades on those ones, but they didn't have enough to fill the league. So
if you are those teams, reach out.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I would love to find you. Yeah. Yeah, that would be unreal.
Yeah.
Where's Sebo from? On the South Coast?
No, I don't think he's from the South Coast. I think he wants to change the name of the St. George Illawarra Dragons to the South Coast Dragons. He's been saying it for years. So.
Okay.
I think he wants us to call them like the Oysters or something too.
South Coast Oysters.
Yeah,
oh my gosh. Okay, so Kuma Stallions, let's start with you. You won your matchup with a score of 1,042 against Sebo, and Sebo is actually leading.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot better than us. That.
It was a slugfest, but it was a gritty win.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not about how you win, it's about getting away with the 2 points and moving on to next week.
Amen. So Sebo scored 1,017. So you had a decent lead on him there. Guru, you beat Maddie the Water Boy with a score of 1,009. He scored 986.
What a fucking idiot. Guy is such a loser. We almost had a fight on Friday.
I was wondering if we almost had a physical fight.
God, it was good fun. You were there for it.
I was there for it.
I love that.
I was the impartial, the mediator, I suppose.
You know that scene where Happy Gilmore beats the shit out of his caddy? That was me and Maddie the water boy on Saturday night. We had a great time. We hugged it out after, but good God.
Who was the caddy?
That's so funny.
Maddie the water. Are you kidding? Have you seen that caddy? That caddy looks more like Maddie the water boy than Maddie the water boy does. Unbelievable. And who'd you play, Kat? Who'd you lose to?
I lost my head-to-head by 3 points against Cody, the other rookie, and Cody is actually leading our entire comp right now on 7,576 points. So he's doing really, really well. But he scored 1,048, so I lost by 3.
I will just say as well, Cody, obviously you two are fighting it out for Dally M Rookie of the Year, and he's taken the first scalp this season.
He has.
He's also a top point scorer. Pressure's mounting.
Yeah.
There's a few 2023 Cronulla Sharks vibes about the Rook.
Impressive. I agree with that.
Good performances, pushing for top 8, can't beat the good teams.
Can't beat the good sides. The questions have to be asked.
Well, guys, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So just hold your horses.
Hold your stallions.
Hold your horses, Kuma Stallions, and just calm down, everybody.
So, I mean...
Yes.
Does the Rook's in the battle for the stallion now?
Yeah, bloody hell. Yeah, we're all in good battle for the Stallion.
Let's quickly go over the overall scores just to clarify one more time. So Kuma Stallions, you are second overall behind Cody with 7,421 points. Guru Grizzlies, you are in third with 7,395. So there is not much between you two right now, but not too far behind.
A couple of brain cells.
Is the Rook at fifth with a score of 7,300. So I'm just 95 points behind you, Guru.
Yeah, and we do need you to lift. We want to lock up that top three.
Yeah.
So we need you to lift. And, you know, you had the opportunity to knock off Top Dog this week.
Yeah.
Didn't get the job done, you know what I mean?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much.
Now, when you said before she's in the running for the Stallion, you were talking about that, weren't you? Or not?
Yeah.
So Kat can get her name on it.
Yeah.
Imagine if Kat gets her name on it before you do. It'd actually make me happier than me getting my name on it. I spoke about this to her last week. I was like, I'm cheering for you.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
So is that all for the about even comp?
Unless you've got any
Tom and Eddie ranked?
So Eddie is in 10th overall with 7,030. And Tom is right down the bottom. He is on 6,368. Yeah, and he's coming dead last in our comp.
The anchor.
I'd like to see his team.
I don't think he's seen his team.
Harley Smith's well and truly due. Right. So, yeah, my score, 1,009. I'm ranked 8,958. Timbo, 1,042, ranks 7,448. Good knock. And Kathmandu, with a score of 1,045, gets her into the top 16,000 in Supercoach. Very, very exciting. Now, our weekly winner for this week, and brace yourself, because I know everyone sitting at home would be sitting there going, oh, Guru's already got this ready. He's already got the screen up. False. No, he does not have the screen up.
He's buying time
as per fucking usual. So the overall leader in beers and break evens as it stands right now is Petty 7. That's coached by Stephen. Now, where is Savs? He's fallen to number 6. He's at 5.8 this week. Tough gig. Points scored this week, though. The top scorer, and I love this. Now, I think this team might actually be coached by a certain Bulldogs player. Now, the coach's name is Drew, and the team name is Living in Hope. That might be Hutcho's team.
Drewy Hutchinson.
That's Drewy Hutchinson. So shout out to him. Third Living in Hope.
Round 7.
Oh wow, that's a good knock. Wow. So
Drew Hutchinson or Brad Drew.
Oh, don't get me started on Brad Drew. We've got his footy card in here. It was signed too. It's worth an absolute kazillion. Drew, give us an email, beersandbreakevens@gmail.com. Kat, what does Drew have to put in his email?
You have to put an address, your address, because we don't know where you live, Drew.
That was mad. Fuck, she's intimidating. She will come after you, Drew. I don't know how she'll find you if you don't put your address in, but make sure you do.
Nah, I'm Lebanese. We'll always find where you live.
Yeah, you'll find him. You'll find him. Shout out to Drew. Well done, mate. 1,000.
Sorry, mate.
There you go. Sorry for talking whilst you were interrupting. Go.
I'm taking on there's a content creator out there, Rugby League Realm, Alex. He's 9th overall. I'm just going through my leagues in the Creator Cup. I've got him in the Creator Cup. So shout out to Rugby League Realm on fire.
9th overall in the whole Supercoach. Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's a great knock. Well done, mate.
He's probably got like one trade left.
Just torn through them.
All right, let's move to
Supercoach.
Supercoach. Let's do some team list Tuesday. Before we do get to that, guys, I have got the Supercoach stats deep dive that is live in the Roo Crew. If you want to come and have a look at that, the link is in the description. Some of the deepest stats you will find in Supercoach land. Let's get stuck into Thursday, Anzac Day. We've got the New Zealand Warriors and the Gold Coast Titans. That one's coming to you from Go Media Stadium at 2 p.m. For the Warriors, Curdy Capewell out. Laban gets an opportunity. I am super excited about that. Dylan Walker back on the bench and into my draft team and into my heart. And Zion also makes his debut off the bench of almost killed a guy in the trials fame. Very, very excited to see him get a run around. And, mate, I am very excited to see Laban on the edge.
Yeah, the Spy made a point on the podcast last night. I think he suits the right edge of the Warriors, just a hard line running back rower. Like, they're all about that shape and getting defenders to turn in. Capewell, probably not known as that hard line running back rower, and that's fine. That's not his style. But I think for that whole right edge, SJ, Charns, Rocco, not really Supercoach relevant, but, mate, I know you'd hate this, but for Dallin Watene's Lesniak, I think he suits that, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a very good spot for DWZ, who I am death riding.
I think often when I go hard on things like this, it ends up backfiring immensely on me, aka, like, I thought the Warriors were going to put a score on the Dragons last week. I think back home on Anzac Day against the Titans side, who have got up the last 2 weeks, I think they're going to trounce them. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
Like, the line was like, last time I checked, was about 12 or something. I'm like, please.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's just the Anzac Day thing that makes me...
Maybe the Titans get up for that.
Maybe they get up for it, yeah. But, yeah, everything on paper says to me the Warriors win fucking well.
They're on a quick turnaround, the Titans. I think it's 5 days. Travelling over to New Zealand, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Bad day to be a Titan.
Yeah, could be tough. Let's have a look at the Titans. Nothing to really touch on here that I noticed, mate. Fifita starting, Brimson at one. Anything worth mentioning here?
No.
Dragons, Roosters, Allianz for a 5 p.m. for the Dragons. The only thing that I took from team list was the Jack Birds on the extended. If he does come in, obviously Lomax will move back to the wing, but I'm not sure how much it really changes for Lomax realistically.
I much prefer him. I don't own him. I'd much prefer him on the wing. I know he was unreal at centre last week, but
yeah,
he'll have more carries, if anything. And just easier tries, just those tip-ons on the end of the line.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, mate, like, I'm actually not sure if it does matter that much to him, to be honest with you. Like, he just, even last week, like, he still had 31 in base. He's had 31 or 32 in base in 4 of the last 5 weeks, too. Like, he still just goes looking for the football.
Yeah. I understand current Lomax is a bit of a different beast to recent years, but we do talk about history a lot, and at centre, he's been a 60 to 65 average player. He's erupted on the wing.
Yeah, fair. For the Roosters, Dom Young comes back in. Suoli moves to centre. Walker at 7. Connor Watson at 14. Anything with that Chook side, mate?
No.
Storm v Bunnies. That's at Amy Park, 7:50 p.m. I said to Kat they'd want to have some Amy insurance going down there to Melbourne. Could get brutal down there.
Did you get a laugh or not?
Yep. Didn't get one this morning. She's not happy. Melbourne Storm, 1-17. Chan holds his spot on the bench, thank God. A little bit of Becky.
Quick one on Chan on the weekend. Played mid-20 minutes, 5 runs, 6 tackle breaks, and the line break. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll take it.
At least we've got a bit of cash out of him. Like, if you can go right and get even 30 to 40 this week, we'll get that. You know, 70 to 100K, worst case, something.
Yeah, we'll take it, 100%. For the Bunnies, Gagai returns on the wing. We were sitting here looking at team lists yesterday and Kat actually jumped up like a Toyota ad when Gagai was named on the wing.
That's grim.
Very exciting. Remember that, Kat?
There's a lot of stuff just being thrown around right now about me.
Also, Jaiara on the bench, which is huge for South Sydney. Damien Cook obviously starting as well. Anything for that side, Timbo?
Nothing there, mate. Just good to hear that young Cookie's gone back and worked on his game over the bye.
Yeah, he must have impressed during the bye round.
Must have had a good attitude and worked his way back. The New South Wales incumbent number 9, he's worked his way back into this team. So it's a credit to Cookie.
Yeah, it must have been very impressive at the cafe at Heffron over the bye round. Friday footy, 8 p.m., the late game. No early game on Friday. We've got the Eels and the Manly Seagulls. More so the Manly Seagulls v. the Eels at Four Pines Park. For the Eels, Sanders makes his debut at 5'8". Very exciting. Sivo on the wing. Madison on the edge. No Bryce Cartwright. A bit of a kick in the dick here with Brendan Hands on the bench for Lussick owners. Guys dropped there. Assey, Russell and Blaze Talangi. What'd you take from that Eel side, mate?
Two things. Number one, do you think Cardi was kicked in the ass? He's been unreal the last season and a half. He was so bad in Darwin.
Yeah, he wasn't in the squad at all, was he? Has he been named in New South Wales? I'll have a look whilst you have a chat about that side.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Whether or not that'd be warranted on Cartwright, I don't know. Because as I said, he's been so good for so long, but he didn't want to be there in Darwin. That the old heat got to him a bit.
I loved watching the chip over top. No, he hasn't been named in reserve grade either, so I would assume he's injured.
Yeah.
Or something's going on there.
I don't know.
Been a weird season for Cardi.
Yeah. The other one, mate, Ethan Sanders. Do we think – so Dill Brown went to the right last week, didn't look comfortable, not good, even when he scored his try. He was playing on the left side of the field. Do you know what side Sanders plays? Are we expecting Brown to go back to the left?
I'm hoping so. I think Sanders will play halfback.
Yeah.
Is my personal opinion. I think they've just named him at six, take a bit of pressure off. But, yeah, I think you'll see Dill Brown slip back into his usual.
Yeah, unless Sanders is an out-and-out left-side player, which would be, you know, rare if he has to do it, you'd think it would be Brown back on the left, which I much prefer for him.
Yeah, I much prefer
and
that.
And for Sean Lane as well.
And Sanders officially heading to the Canberra Raiders next year.
Wasn't that a weird one that took so long? In saying that, don't go the early crow. I'm a bit nervous because there's this new 10-day cooling off period where he's informed them of it and they have 10 days to basically have a response. I don't know if it's because he's a club junior or what it is, but the fact that he's now been named this week, if he comes out and kills it, I expect him to go to the Raiders, but if he kills it this weekend...
If I'm Ethan Sanders, mate, I would take a lot out of that. The Canberra Raiders have wanted me for a long time, and Parramatta, he is their fourth choice ball player. So I'd be going to the nation's capital personally. Fourth. Well, they went for Blaze, then they went for
this season.
Like they had the opportunity to pick him 3 weeks ago if they wanted to. They picked everyone but him until now.
Without going on too long about not overly super relevant stuff, I thought our boy Darren Arcy getting dropped was like. Really? They were quite good the week before. It was one off week. The whole team was terrible. It wasn't his fault. Anyway.
Yeah. He also had a HIA and missed. Yeah, so I don't know. Weird one. For the Manly Seagulls, a couple of forwards return, LEA and Nathan Brown. Very, very good for the Manly Seagulls, starting to head back to their full strength side now. Anything to touch on there, mate?
No.
Super Saturday, Tigers, Brisbane, 5:30 from Campbelltown. For the Tigers... We've got, I was going to say the young fella, but he's not that young. Alamolo, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name. Apologies. He's going to be making his NRL debut on the wing. Obviously was a rookie of the year in Super Rugby a couple of years ago. So an interesting watch. I had a look at his New South Wales Cup stats. I don't think the workload's probably there for us to be interested, nor am I confident he's safe. Mate, the big talking point, I gave him a rap galore on Monday on Bloke. Finu named on the edge. Very interesting.
Mate. There's a lot of super coaches out there who threw out an SOS this week saying, save my front row.
He might be it.
Dual 2RF front row forward. There are a lot out there, myself included, Spy included, running three Bulldogs middle front rowers.
Have you got three of them?
Yeah, so Curran, Farmacilli, Hughes.
Fuck that. Yeah, right.
Well, and it's good that, like, Curran's going great guns.
Yeah.
Hughes is making a ton of money. Farmacilli, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Just tough this week, I mean.
Yeah, so I'm covered because of Josh Kerr.
Yeah.
So I was selling Josh Kerr last week, and then when I saw that, I was like, oh, shit, I need to cover myself. So it did backfire in a lot of ways because, I mean, I had to sell Jack Bostock, who I was going to hold for another week, so out. But it does mean this week that I've currently got Kerr at 2RF, so I can just switch him and Curran, so I'm covered. But anyone with those three doggies in the front row who needs a front row and doesn't want to take an AE, I think Finu's a great player on the edge there. He based last week something – he was – let me get it up. He based 49 in 59 minutes last week against Penrith.
Yeah.
I think he's a good buy.
Very good player, man. He's been a great signing for them. Johnny Bateman moves to the 13. Fanua Bolle returns to the bench. For the Brisbane Broncos, Arthurs moves to centre. Selwyn Cobbo out this week along with Ezra Mam. Sounds like they'll both be back next week though. Mariner returns on the sting, so you would have to assume then that Corey Oates' time is just about up. Adam Reynolds at halfback. Payne Haas in the front row. Pierre Cura on the edge. That Brisbane side starting to really take shape again, Timber.
Well, if those other two boys return next week, they're full strength, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm excited as a not as a New South Welshman, but as a rugby league fan. Gee, they're good to watch. Get that full side back on deck. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary, the Broncos. Cowboys v Panthers, 7:30 p.m. coming in from North Queensland. Griffin Neame starts in the front row. Our boy Tommy McKayley gets an opportunity off the bench. Keen to see how he goes. I really don't want to talk about him in Supercoach because I'm done with front row forward. I don't give a fuck anymore.
How shit is it talking about front row forward still?
So shit.
I know.
Miss me. Anything else from the Cows, mate? I was expecting sweeping changes. We've got nothing here.
I just sit there and go, like, how many changes can they make? I just I don't think they've got the depth that we once sort of thought they may have. Like, granted, there's been a few injuries, Luciano Leilua left, but you go through their reserves, it's like Vailea, Gajewski, Shibasaki, Clifford. I can't pronounce his name. But my point is, I don't think the depth is there. Like, you can make a couple of little changes, but I don't think they can do sweeping changes.
Well, yeah, I think they had decent depth until Leilua left and Cohen Hess got injured. And then your McIntyres and all that all of a sudden just became regular first graders, which made it tough. For the Panthers, Taylan May returns at centre. Thank goodness. Alamotti goes back to the extended, and this halfback comes in who is a good player. Anything else on the Panthers, Timbo?
Do you still have Taylan May?
Yep.
He's got some work to do for us. After pulling out late for that Tigers game last week, geez, he owes the boys.
Yeah, he does owe the boys. I'm playing him this week, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like it. Sunday footy, Dolphins Knights, 2 p.m. from Suncorp. Dolphins, nothing to really touch on here Supercoach-wise. Worth noting Connolly Lemuelu, he's on the extended, but even that, not overly relevant for the Knights. Armstrong at fullback, Gagai centre. Just going to put a little warning out to all of you. Armstrong, people that are considering him, I reckon that Fletcher Sharp, who's out with a hammy at the moment, when he returns, I reckon he's every chance to come into first grade. So beware. And I'll tell you what will be funny to me, and I was saying to Kate yesterday, it might be my favourite bit of content ever. If in a few weeks' time, when Fletcher Sharp's available, if he comes into that side and plays Magic Round, I was at the Caxton last year and a young kid in a Cessnock Goannas jersey with beer in hand asked me for a photo, and it was Fletcher Sharp. And I've got the photo. So if he goes from in the beer garden at the Caxton with beer in hand in his Goannas kit to playing Magic Round this year, it'd be one of the great stories. And I reckon he's every fucking chance too.
That is so cool.
All time. Fucking all time. Be cool. Anything on that night side? Gagai also returns at centre for those with him as a little pod play.
Well, the only thing is, like, just, you know, if obviously not going to go early on him, but Armstrong, he's dual CT dub fullback at bottom dollar. And we had a very quick look at his stats on the Bloke podcast on Monday, and looked like a big meat reader, loves a run, a tackle bust. I think the game looked at, there was 10 tackle busts and a ton of meters. And just the other thing, touched on it last night, I feel really sorry for anyone who jumped on Marju early last week with Ponga injured, just because it takes so much appeal away. He did end up playing on the left wing last week. That was because Gagai was ruled out, Tuala went to centre. It'll be interesting to see if Marju plays left and Tuala goes back to the right. Regardless, it's just with no Ponga there, it takes so much appeal out of Marju, doesn't it?
Oh, heaps, yeah. And you can sell him for 400K in a few weeks' time. Hurts my draft team, I'll tell you that much for free. Wouldn't have drafted him second had I known KP wouldn't be there. That hurts. Raiders, Sharkies, 4 p.m. Canberra. First look at the Green Machine without Jamal Fogarty. KO Weeks comes in at 7. Sasagi on the edge. Another one worth noting, though, is Hopewade named on the extended in this game. So
18th man.
18th man. So we might see the end of James Schiller potentially. And if he does, if we do see the end of him, God, he's done a good job for us.
Hasn't he? I think he's over 200K in the space of 2 weeks. The 2 weeks ago, the game against the Titans got a double and was a very playable option in what was a tough week for picking a 17. So he's done a job, but yeah, he could potentially drop out this week, if not this week next. So make plans to get him out.
Yeah, he'll be a real silent MVP of the Gurus Grizzlies when we look back on season 2024. For the Sharkies, Katoa on the wing, Atkinson named at 6. You got Royce the Choice, Hunt and Dykes on the extended. I expected Dykes to come in, but they've gone for Atkinson, so he's going to be an interesting little watch. Is the Braden Trindle moves over the weekend some of the most boneheaded of all time or what?
Really like Trindle as well.
Love Trindle.
Dumb, and the Sharks are firing. You're in top form. Just so disappointed.
Yeah, fuck. He waits so patiently for 4 years to get an opportunity.
Gets it, grasps it, top of the table. And it's gone.
And it's gone. And I mean, for me, it's just inexcusable. There is $15 fucking lifts in your phone from wherever you are. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Supercoach, Prince Nico, come on down.
Yeah, it's huge for Nico. It's massive for Nico. If you're someone that, you know, fucking, if you moved off Nico Fuisi and you moved off Cleary, you know, and you don't have either of them, you have got to fucking pull it together. You got to at least get one of them, and I'd find a way to get both of them.
Tell you what makes it worse. This week, I would not be selling Sean Johnson against the Titans. I think it's a great matchup. So you're probably going to have to go without for another week. Don't get me wrong. I think Sean Johnson's an amazing hold against the Titans and couldn't score big, but you're probably not alone. One, if not two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting few weeks coming up. All right, Blue Wealth Property, Wednesday, the 1st of May. How to pay off your mortgage with an investment property. That one's live at Sydney Olympic Park and via the webinar, 6:30 p.m. in the room, 7 p.m. online. Got a mortgage? Learn how an investment property can help you pay it off quicker, something your mum and dad didn't tell you about because they didn't know. Then we've got the little Larry Emder, the Blue Wealth Property are putting on. This is over three nights. And shout out to the great Josh Starling of tackled Licky Licky and knocked the ball out of his hands in the Toyota Cup, one of the great moments of all time, who sprayed me over the weekend, who watches the show every week. So shout out to Starlo, one of the greats, who sprayed me on the weekend for my pronunciation of all these country towns, which rattled the shit out of me. So as slicker, I might hand over to you.
All righty, mate. That's come out of nowhere, but... how do you pronounce it? Orange, Tuesday the 7th
of May. Orange.
Orange, Tuesday the 7th of May at the one that he roasted you for is one that I also do not know. Hotel Cannibalis, 6:30 p.m.
What an idiot.
Bathurst. Now, Bathurst on Wednesday the 8th of May. The Bathurst Panthers, the mighty Bathurst Panthers, 6:30 p.m. and Dubbo Thursday, the 9th of May, I should say, Western Plains Cultural Centre at 6:30 p.m. Get around it.
So that's learn everything you need to know about building wealth through property and how Blue Wealth use a research process to identify the best investments for your financial future. That's the Blue Wealth Property Rural Road Show. Shout out to Josh Starling once again, one of the greats. Now we have got... Also, Wednesday, the 15th of May, we got Wealth Through Property live in Melbourne. It was on the next page, really threw me. Wednesday, the 15th of May, Wealth Through Property live in Melbourne, the Crown Promenade South Bank. And you can find...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All the links in the description. Let's have a look at Timmy's Stat Deep Dive this week.
Can you introduce the player, mate? This is how this works.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Braden Bailey? Who the fuck is writing this? Jaden Brayley is going to be our first guy we're going to talk about. Jeez, you dicked me there. Take it away, kid. Braden
Bailey. It's like when you made me say Sea Eagles versus Manly.
Braden Jaley. All right, take us away on Jaden Brayley because I am making a hooker trade this week. He's not the one I'm looking at, but you told me pre-show that you're going to try and convince me.
Yeah.
So do your thing.
So, obviously, injury interrupted a few seasons. So, started very cheap this year and then came back from his lengthy injury layoff in reduced minutes. Back to 80 minutes last week. 48 points in 80 minutes with 48 in base. So, entirely work rate. Okay, numbers not mesmerizing by any means. 337K, break even of 14. I went back and had a look at the two games last season, the Brayley, obviously a small sample size on this one, but we work with what we've got. Two games last season without Kalen Ponga before Brayley got injured. He had scores of 50 and 56, also almost entirely in base. In 2022, Brayley played five games in a row late in the season without Kalen Ponga. In this time, he had a five-round average of 70 points with 48 base and a few attacking stats to boot. Go back to 2021. He averaged 59 points in 22 games in the season. He averaged 58 points in 2022 in eight games. So I just think back to an 80-minute player at the price. I'm not expecting Jaden Brayley to set the world alight, but if he maintains that 80-minute role, I think you've got a bloke who can make 150 to 200K. Let's be more conservative, 120 to 150K. He plays round 13, so great early buy coverage. I think he's a pretty reliable second hooker option. Lots of people are looking to get rid of Danny Levi this week, myself included. And then there's Joey Lussick, who with Hands on the bench, I think he's break-even. Lussick is about 14, but if Hands eats into his minutes this week, as you'd expect, he could be a sell next week. So Brayley becomes a very viable option. And I think the biggest thing as well, with no Kalen Ponga there, I just think he's going to increase his running game and his output in attack, because there's all of a sudden not a lot of creative strike weapons. So I like him as a buy.
Yeah, fair shout. I was just having a look at our Supercoach stats for Hooker in the Roo Crew, and I actually had a look at his draw over the next few weeks and thought, geez, that looks pretty nice. They've actually got him ranked here as the 16th best draw for hookers over the next few weeks, but there is a lot of context that you need to take into that and whatnot. Mate, I am looking at Wade Egan. He's probably the one that I've just got a bit of a hard on for Wade Egan at the moment, so seriously considering him, but I can see the merit. I can 100% see the merit in Jaden Brayley. Do we think he plays 70 plus minutes each week? Like, did the Kalen Ponga injury, like, did that force Phoenix Crossland elsewhere last week? I was out watching Josh play that game, so I didn't really get to watch it closely.
Possibly. But he played 70 the week before as well, though.
Yep.
And historically, he has been an 80-minute hooker. So, look, I don't know, potentially, but, look, I think worst case, if he's a 60 to 65-minute hooker and Crossland does eat into his minutes, it's not ideal, but I don't need a star in the hooker slot. I mentioned last week I was keen on Harry Grant, and before the Ponga injury, I was going to go Levi to Grant, who's bottoming out in price, has not found an attacking stat this year. But I've got Robson there, so look, I'm sort of looking at just going, you know what, I don't really want to play my second hooker, so I'm happy for just to have a bloke who's going to plug a hole there and do a job.
Yeah, interesting. Let me ask you this, mate. Do you think, based on how we've gone so far this year, do you think that Harry Grant still ends up being the number one hooker?
On average, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Total points, hard to say because of the origin period and because the Melbourne are flying and going well. Does he miss out on games? Does he get early showers? I still think he's the top averaging hooker, yes. He's 60 this season. He's had like one try. No, sorry, I don't think he hasn't scored. He has one try, it's just one try contribution. I don't think he has a line break. They're going to start coming. He's too good.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have a look at, you know, where Harry Grant is right now. He's averaging 59 with literally one attacking start. Reece Robson's the top averaging hooker at the moment, 69.9, and I think he scored a few tries in the first few weeks and a couple of hundreds and whatnot. So it's going to be interesting.
So Robson, yeah, he had just the one try, surprisingly, but 4 or 5 try assists, and he's averaging 9 points more. So it's like, yeah. On Egan,
by the way, just on Wade Egan, you're staring straight at the devil's dick there. 666,000 with an average, and he scored 66 last week.
You almost have to.
I know I will, but
I like the Egan play. Brayley, 330K cheaper. It's a lot of, in your words, bicky.
It is a lot of bicky, yep, and it is something for me to seriously consider this week, but I don't know. I'm a big Wade Egan guy. Fuck, he's been scoring well the last few weeks. Sort of flying under my radar a little bit, to be honest.
Hasn't missed a minute the last 4 weeks either. And you look at his season average, that's taken down by 34 points in 34 minutes in round one where HIA injury, I can't remember, but then missed 2 weeks. So you look at his last 4 rounds, looks like he's averaging early 70s in that period, so mid-70s.
69, 88, 78, 66 the last 4 weeks with a Titans game coming this week. I think the other thing to consider when you're talking about hookers too is that Harry Grant, I think his run over the next few weeks is pretty delicious.
Very good.
So, yeah, plenty to look at there when it comes to hookers. Mate, the next guy on your list is another hooker, Appy. What are we thinking?
You're still an owner, I assume?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not. My question here is, look, I don't think anyone's going to panic by any means with Appy. My question is more to you directed as an owner. Do you think he's a season hold? Because there's the origin concern. We've mentioned that there are a few hookers sort of emerging. Started the season red hot. Since then, scores of 36, 63, 60 and 45 in his last 4 games. Still playing 80, still goal kicking. My question in the stat that I found around him was that 15 runs in his last 4 games.
Yep.
He hasn't busted a tackle in three of his last four games. He only had one run against Penrith. I'm fully aware that Penrith are a different beast, particularly for hookers, because when they don't win the middle and you're on the back foot, it's hard to run as a number nine.
Yep.
And just the other thing with Appy, just misses a lot of tackles. Like, he's averaging five missed tackles per game. So that's coming straight off the top of his score every week. Question to you, do you see him as a long-term hold or not?
Honestly, mate, the last few weeks I've had Appy sitting up there at hooker, and we've had so many other fires and so much other shit. I haven't even paid that much attention to him. But, I mean, if you take out the Penrith game, we're for 36 and we know the rule with Penrith, you score less. It is what it is. I mean, he's gone below 60 once.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not causing me dramas at the moment. Is he a long-term hold? Maybe he's not a keeper, but, mate, if nothing else steps up at hooker, I think he could do much worse.
I think if he didn't get picked for Origin, you could probably hold him the season, provided he keeps his 80 minutes in goal kicking.
Yeah.
Origin will be the spanner in the works.
Yeah, it will be the spanner in the works 100%. But I think and I was really worried about that last week until you made a really good point that, okay, the guy will probably play 50 minutes.
Mm.
Like, he's not going to play 80.
Yeah.
So
Tigers need him.
Yeah. And look, I don't think he's a keeper, but I'm just like, I'm just not seeing anything else that's really jumping out at me.
I think all these hookers, Reece Robson, Appy Coruscant, possibly to a lesser degree, Marshall King, who's killing it. I think any of these guys to Harry Grant, about round 20, will be quite a popular trade.
Yes. Yeah, after I agree. Origin. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, look, there's no one really lining it up for me when it comes to hooker. So I'm just sort of, I don't know. And like Appy, like, he's got a bye in round 13, but then the West Tigers other bye is in round 26. So from now until round 25, he's only going to miss one game of football with a bye.
Yeah.
If he backs up from Origin, which, if I'm the West Tigers,
he has to.
I think they need Appy out there. So that's part of the reason why I don't mind. Mate, if the Cowboys forward pack was playing to their full potential, I'd be very, very jealous of Reece Robson. Mm. But at the moment, they're just, in saying that, they have got a good run coming over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
A couple of flat tracks. So that scares me a little bit. That's enough fucking hooker chat. I'm done with it.
Back to front rowers.
Yeah, back to front rowers.
No.
Fifita, Dave Fifita, mate. Scored from dummy half on the weekend. I wasn't stoked about that. Would have loved to have got him a little bit cheaper. Mm. I probably can't make it work over the next week or two, but long term, I'm sort of thinking maybe just after Origin, I'll bring Fifita in. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so mate, much like you and a lot like a lot of other super coaches out there, he's come back really good, not even playing his full 80 minutes yet, but averaging 73.8 on return from injury in a pretty ordinary Titans outfit. I was thinking, try and get him in the next few weeks, get the early jump on people. Very poor Origin schedule for Fifita and the Titans. He's going to miss round 13, round 16, round 17, and round 19.
Mm.
It's going to kill me, but, you know, I know last year after Origin 1, I think it was, he either got rested or, no, he played 20 minutes off the bench or something. I just think with that really, really poor schedule, I think we got to wait till after Origin.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if Desi Hazel's happy to play him off the bench now, imagine when we're mid-Origin.
Mm.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Every chance to play good minutes during Origin as well. I just think, even this year, I think with the Titans, like, they're obviously battling and they're going to need him to play good minutes. They'll be desperate for it. But if scores blow out, he's going to be the first person to come off post-Origin 1, post-Origin 2, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it kills me, but I don't think I'm going to own Dave Fifita until after Origin.
Yep, I'm the same. Nath Cleary, mate, I've held him this entire time, so I'm sitting here like a Cheshire cat. I think you two are going to bring it. Well, actually, I know you're considering bringing him in. What do you think, Kathmandu?
I am pretty happy with my halves at the moment. I've got SJ in there and I've got Nico Hines, and I feel like both are capable of scoring very well. I do have the cash in the bank should I want to bring Cleary back in, but I think he may come back a little conservative. Mm. So I would almost be willing to wait a little. That's just my gut. And Timmy said, listen to it. So
I think if I was you, I would wait with that Titans matchup for the Wires at home.
I back SJ to outscore Cleary this week against the Titans.
Mm.
And then there's the returning from a hamstring injury, so a concern there. So I think if you're a DC or an SJ owner, I'd be holding them one more week and then have a look at Cleary. Like, I've got Luke Brooks as my backup half at the moment, so I'm like, sweet, makes sense.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Because I also know with those hamstring injuries, they they don't come back 100%.
Mm.
Even it doesn't matter how confident the staff are that they're ready to come back. I think there's always that thought in the back of your head that you can do the same injury over again very quickly. So I think Cleary will come in with that in mind.
Or do they? If only we had some stats to work this out.
Yeah, and I think Timmy's got some pretty good numbers for us. I before you get to those numbers, Timmy, for me, I don't think I've ever seen a team that brings players back from injury better. This has always been my argument with Penrith. They're fucked.
You'll find that with my stat deep dives, they're very relevant to my team because I put the time into what works for me. And the one this week was, how does Nathan Cleary return from injuries? And I've looked at stints when he's missed 3-plus games in the past due to injury, how he's returned. Last season, he missed 5 club games, then returned with scores of 81 against the Bulldogs, 109 against the Sharks, 103 against the Storm. Go back to 2022. Missed the first 3 weeks of that season with, I think it was a hamstring injury, returned with scores of 34, 57, but then went 151, 158.
Mm.
Now, the disclaimer with that one is like it was the start of the season.
I think that was the shoulder from the World
shoulder.
Cup.
Shoulder.
Yep.
We know but like we know players start slow at the start of the season, particularly spine players, halfbacks. So willing to look past that one a little bit now that we are up to round 8. But yeah, then went 151, 158. Missed 5 games on the trot at the back end of 2021. Returned with scores of 82, 86, 100 and 89. So basically what I'm saying is historically he returns pretty damn good. And while there's obviously going to be some concern with the hamstring, I think there's enough there to say I'm keen to get him in.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if I was Cat and I had Warriors v Titans this week, I can fully understand waiting a week.
I would. I'd 100% wait a week.
And even as Timmy said that he's back in there straight out, score Cleary, even if he just gets in the ballpark, if he gets within 20 points, you're happy.
Sweet.
Mm. Yeah, you're good as gold.
Yeah, definitely.
Isaac Tungo, what do you got here?
Just, again, it's the Cleary impact of him, isn't it? He's very hot and cold. For a bloke with enormous base, 36 per game, and it was the same last year, very hot and cold, Tungo.
Very hot and cold,
like,
yeah.
You feel like with his base he shouldn't be so attack aligned, but then he does seem to be. It's weird. Basically just the Cleary effect. And look, I haven't gone into last year, and the reason that is because Tungo and all these Penrith outside backs, they keep switching edges, so it's very hard to work out where he played. But just on this season sample size alone, round 1, 46 points with 40 in base. That was that Melbourne game. They didn't score a point. So look, put a line through that. He then went 145 and 100 against the Eels and the Broncos. That was with Nathan Cleary on deck. Now, we know that in those games, there was an injury to the in the back line and he was up against back rowers and he had a field day. Cleary gets injured. 3 rounds, he goes 47, 32, 58. Cleary's back now on his right edge. He's at 684K with a break even of 122. Plays round 13 against the Dragons. My question to you is, Cleary impact on Tungo. I know you're one of his biggest fans.
Mm.
Do you see him, like, he'll bottom out? I mean, you could potentially go this week at 684, but let's say you wait a week and have a look at Cleary's return, etc. A good draw to come. Cowboys into Bunnies into Dogs. How do you see the Cleary impact there?
Yeah, I think it'll be positive for him. I don't think there's any doubting that. But I love Isaac Tungo, as you all know. But it does – he – sometimes Penrith can score 40 points and he still scores 40.
Mm.
Sometimes they can score 12 and all of a sudden he's on 90. He's one of the hardest players to actually predict.
So hard to catch, isn't he?
He's so hard to catch. And for me, I think he's just a little bit too hard to catch. And especially for guys like us, like we've already got Taylor May. I think that's enough for me from the Penny Panthers.
Yeah, I would give – anything for Taylor May to go to the right edge and be outside of Cleary instead of Luai, but
it'd be interesting to see if something was to happen to like Isaac Tungo and they had to bring Paul Alamotti in, whether he'd play left or right, because he's played left the vast majority of his first grade career from memory. He played left to Canterbury last year.
I don't like what I'm seeing from the Panthers left this year. Take Supercoach out of it, they just look clunky. Like Brian Trotter hasn't looked like scoring a try since he's gone to the left.
Yeah.
Taylor May hasn't looked like touching the ball in decent attacking space since going to the left. Sorry. When he's been on deck, yeah. Anyway.
Next guy on our list, May, I assume we're talking of the Terrell variety.
We are Terrell. 13th, last time I checked, this probably changed a little bit, but 13th most sold player. Now, I'll get through this quickly, mate, but just minutes the last few weeks have really gone down, but I'm just going to go through his games one by one, the minutes he's played and the result for the Roosters. You and I love him. Like, I don't know what we're missing in terms of why his minutes have reduced, but round 7, they lose to the Storm 18-12. They scored 2 tries off kicks. He only plays 30 minutes. Round 6, plays 50 minutes. They were underdogs in that, beat the Knights 22-20. Round 5, against the Doggies in the wet. Rotations impacted in this one by injuries and whatnot, sin bins, all sorts of things, send-offs. Played 20 minutes, got upset by the Dogs 30-26. When he was on the field for his 20 minutes, they actually won 12-6. Round 4, played 55 minutes, a 6-point loss to the Panthers, great result. Round 3, plays 52 minutes, they win 48-6 over the Bunnies. Round 2, somewhat of an outlier, played 57 minutes, lost 21-14 to Manly, but Manly have been really good this year. Round 1 in Vegas, plays 54 minutes, they beat the Broncos 20-10. What am I missing, Roo?
Mate, I've got no fucking idea. I've got no idea what you're missing. This is bizarre, this one. I'll tell you what, over the next 4 weeks, like, they've got Dragons on Anzac Day, Brisbane, Warriors, Cronulla, and mate, even the week after that against Canberra's forward pack down there. Mate, this is 5 weeks. This could go belly up very quickly for the Roosters. The Dragons probably the easiest matchup there, and you know on Anzac Day, like they're showing up on most weeks.
Yeah.
On Anzac Day, they're going to fucking show up. Tell me Shane Flanagan's not going to have his team up on fucking Anzac Day. And, you know, I look back to last season and just go, when Trent Robinson got to the back end of the season when the bright lights were on, big stages, he turned to Terrell May for 50, 60 minutes. It shocks me that at the moment, like maybe you just throw out that Canterbury game because interchanges and everything, that was just a bit of a shit fight. Yeah. But against Melbourne the other night when they brought Nass back into their side, he plays 30 minutes. Mate, if he plays like sub 30 or sub 40 this week against the Dragons, I'd probably start to look around the room.
I brought into my team going, sweet, I'll probably hold this plate for the season. Mm. Play him in our front row, don't need to move him barring injury. Scrap the Doggies until 20 minutes, 50 minutes, 30 minutes. I said, if he plays 30 minutes this week, you're going, all right, it's going to be a tough decision to be made.
Yeah, I did the same when I brought him in on January 30th. it's going to be an interesting few weeks. And I just think that they need him to play big minutes.
I thought so as well, mate.
Bizarre. All right, trades. What are you thinking this week, big dog?
I am thinking.
I was talking to Cat, but that's fine.
Big Cat.
Nah, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking an El Busto.
Ooh.
I've used 2, so this will be a third.
El Busto was here.
Yeah. So.
Little El Barto reference there.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
I'll call you, mate. All good. Luke Brooks to Nathan Cleary.
Yep.
Kalen Ponga to Reece Walsh. I wanted him from round 1 in Vegas, but with the draw, the trip to Vegas, went cool on him. He's averaging, outside of that concussion-impacted game against the Panthers, he's averaging like 77 points. Gets Reynolds back in the team, gets Payne Haas back in the team, Piakura, all of a sudden the Broncos very strong. They've got a soft few weeks coming up. Likely loses the goal kicking to Adam Reynolds, but Reynolds come back from a hamstring. You never know if he gets another week or two kicking, but yeah, so Walsh in for Ponga. I'm so excited for that. I don't know any Broncos and haven't for a while, so I'm like, I'm just excited to watch them with their main attacking weapon. I think it's 616K. I just can't go past it. The Spy last night made a really good case for Ryan Pappenhausen, only about 50, 60K more. I understand that, but I'm so excited to own Walsh at this price. I don't think barring injury you'll ever get Reece Walsh cheaper than 616K.
Yep.
And my third one, mate, I was a couple of grand off being able to do that in 2 trades. Boosting, I'm thinking Levi to Jaden Brayley. Levi break even about 61 there. Just about to start plummeting cash unless he can find some more attacking stats. Brayley can bring in, plug him as a reliable second hooking option if needed to play. Hopefully, if he plays his 80 minutes, can make 150K. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, nice. I like it. I'll tell you what, as you guys know, I give Tim a lot of shit for his just constant fucking bending over for Reece Walsh. It shits me to no end. He's a great player, but the way that Timmy goes on. But I'll tell you what, on Saturday night, we got to sit back and we got to watch Reece Walsh absolutely dry fuck Timmy's Canberra Raiders. And for just a split second there, just sitting next to Timmy and listening to him, it just reminded me that he's a true New South Welshman. And my God, you were giving it to Reece Walsh and I loved it. I loved it. It made me so proud of you.
Yeah.
But then we get back in here this morning and Reece Walsh straight back in the side.
Because
the roller coaster of Tim Williams.
Well,
just sounds like a really toxic relationship.
Well, no. For the first time ever, there was a little bit of toxic creeping in, which I loved, and I fuel all over that drunk fire.
Well, the thing is, Supercoach has played with the head. As a rugby league supporter, it's all with the heart.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the New South Wales Blues and up against Queenslanders, it's all heart.
So, it was all heart. Yeah,
I'll say what I will. But when I get into the studio and I'm talking Supercoach, I'm playing with the head, not the heart.
Yeah, no, I back that. So my trades this week, I will be going Danny Levi to one of Egan, Brayley, Grant, a long shot, but I don't think so. I think it will be Brayley or Egan. I'll have to go back into the lab and have a deep dive.
You're going to go back, you're going to rewind my segment, you're going to listen to it, and then you're going to get Brayley in.
Mate, Wade Egan is so fucking appealing to me because I have AFB as well. I can just see.
Get in there, bro.
You know I love a combo.
I know you love a combo.
So I'll be looking at those too, and I think Egan might be better content too. So we'll see. I have to make a decision on that.
The only thing stopping you from backflipping and getting Brayley is your love of content.
Yeah, and pride.
Pride.
A heap of pride.
Speaking of combos, the content pride combo.
Like white and rice. The other one that I'll be making, and this one's a little bit controversial, I'm going to go Kalen Ponga. I'm going to trade him out. I'm going to move Ito down to fullback, and I'm actually going to grab Simi Sasagi. Now, my thinking is at 219K, not sure when Elliot Whitehead returns. We're trying to get some mail on that. If only we knew someone in the nation's capital. We are trying to get some mail on that. Now, Simi Sasagi plays this week, negative 40 break even, I believe it is. He's going to make a little bit of bicky. Even, and hopefully Elliot Whitehead doesn't come back next week. Even if Whitehead does, I personally think Simi Sasagi, because of the way that Ricky Stewart does his bench and whatnot, with already the one hooker, I think Simi Sasagi falls out of the side completely. So I would almost use it as enough in my CTWs. So that's my thinking there. Free up a heap of cash. It means that the week after that, I'll be coming in with about 400K in my bank to make a move on Ethan Strange or James Schiller, whichever one I want. I can move them to – my plan is to let Scott Drinkwater play the Panthers this week and score his 30, drop a heap of cash, then I'm going to go to Drinky next week.
Yeah. Could drop about 100K drinking every chance that he does. On Sasagi, it's just Whitehead related. And I think you're right with it because they've got so many really good bench middles.
Emre Goula's not making the side at the moment.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then that dual hooking rotation as well. It might be hard for Sasagi to start. The thing is now they've got KO Weeks coming in who's like question marks, going to be big question marks around his defense. Elliot Whitehead, really, really good edge defender and communicator.
Yep.
I think they'll want him next to him. So I can see Whitehead coming in and potentially starting and playing decent minutes there. We'll hopefully get some mail and confirmation. As you said, Sasagi could drop out entirely. The other thing with Sasagi, currently available at CT Dub, which is pretty crazy. When round 12 dual position updates come in, he'll have played 3 games on the edge. So he'll get his dual 2RF CT Dub. So you'll have that as well.
Yeah, that might be my next campaign to make sure that gets across the line.
Yeah, well, that can be the new campaign.
I'll be carrying on a fucking trick him. Oh, God, Simi Sasagi.
And what was the other one? Oh, yeah. If you can go Schiller to him, I think that's the play, just because Schiller probably get dropped. The Raiders play round 13, so everyone's looking at selling and cashing in on Smithies, on Strange, on Schiller, on Savage, on all these guys. I think if you can hold certainly Smithies for 13 – I think they play 13 and 16. So if you can hold, barring a real reduction in minutes, they play 13 and 16. I'll be looking at holding Smithies through then. I want to see how Strange goes leading this side around, being the dominant ball player with Fogarty out. So ideally I want to hold Strange as well. I understand the sell, don't get me wrong, but he could be a handy little one for 13 and 16. That's all.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to watch Ethan Strange with – on his own now. Even maybe not NRL wise, might not, but I reckon Supercoach wise, he could run a stack more now.
He could have a ton. He got a lot of attacking ball.
Yeah, I like it. So, those are the trades I'm looking at. Kathmandu, you got any idea what you're doing yet?
I have Ponga, so I think I'm going to have to make a decision there. It's a lot of money to have on the bench if he's going to be out as long as we suspect. So I'm going to have to do something with that. But I am thinking of just upgrading him to someone that I can potentially hold for a while. Not necessarily. I don't know who yet.
You don't know who yet. Yeah. So you're thinking you're going to bring in a fullback gun.
Yeah, I want to bring in a gun. And you've
already got Turbo?
I've got Turbo.
Well, I think pretty much whoever you go to will be – you'll be freeing up cash too, essentially, whether well, it be
– when I go to trade Ponga, I have $1.7 million in the bank. So I can upgrade – or I can, you know – I can bring in a gun fullback and still have a bit of money to play with. So,
still have a bit of money to play with? You could buy a three better in Sydney with the money you have left over.
Yeah, I'm listening to Blue Wealth and I'm thinking, what can I do with this money?
You can go and buy Blue Wealth. Unbelievable. All right, now we're bringing back Sit V starts this week. Do you want to direct us here, Timbo?
Yeah, mate. Hot demand, bringing back Sit V starts. So we're not going to go through like individually player by player and become a bit monotonous. We're basically just going to talk about the relevant ones to our team and basically the big decisions that we've had to make each week. So I'll start, mate. And as it stands, I think I'm going to play Ethan Strange against the Sharkies for all the reasons we just mentioned. He's sort of my – him and Morgan Smithies, as it stands, are kind of my – the weaker links in my 17. The rest of them, I'm very content with being a strong 17. I'm playing Taylan May up against the Cowboys in my CT dub as well. So the ones that I'm sitting, I've got Josh Curran on the bye, so that leaves me down a gun. But not playing Schiller, not a chance in the world. Not playing Joe Chan. Jaden Brayley's the other sit that I'll have. So I could potentially play Brayley over Smithies, but I just think going down to the capital, I think Smithies played fewer minutes last week because the game was out of hand and Stewart saw it as a chance to give him fewer minutes. I think he goes back to big minutes this week and happily play him. So, yeah, that's where I'm sitting. And then, you know, another questionable one there, but certainly playing Sean Lane in my team as well.
Yeah, mine's pretty straightforward this week, to be honest with you, mate. Mm. I'm going to have two good hookers. My God. Put a fork in me. The kid's done. So I'm probably going to play Appy and Wade or Jaden Brayley. If I go Wade, I'll definitely be playing him. And then my bench will be Cleary, probably Galvin. I've got Iro at fullback as well this week, so I'll play him as a reserve.
Just playing Galvin, Iro.
So my bench will be Cleary, Galvin, Iro, and then probably Appy. Fine Fuiaki against Penrith, no thank you. Chan off the bench, no thank you. Strange is the next one that I would consider. It'll probably come down to Strange or Galvin, I would say. I'm playing Taylan May on my starting side. So, yeah, we'll come down to either Strange or Galvin.
Playing Smithies?
I sort of have to on my 2RF. Curran's got the bye. Fine Fuiaki against Penrith and Joe Chan off the bench. Yep. So, yeah, I think I'm happy to play Smithies.
You happy with Galvin v Broncos over Strange v Sharks at home?
That's the decision I've got to make. That's the one I got to make.
What are you leaning towards?
I was sort of – my gut feel was Galvin, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I don't know. Strange. And I actually didn't think I'd have to make this decision.
But it's almost a coin flip job. I personally – like, I've got the same decision and I just – Broncos defensively so good.
Yeah.
Galvin will get peppered, so.
The other one that I was looking at, I've also got Xavier Willison, but with Payne Haas back, I'm not sure if he gets minutes this week. So,
and I think when I do Sit V starts, I do my best. Like, it's not a decade ago, Supercoach. Chase the upside.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be exciting for me, though. Willison's been a long hold. Hopefully trade him for 400K next week for someone. Finally move Curran up to the front row forward, which will be exciting.
You'd be laughing if you can jag another attacking stat in a 70-odd score.
It would be great. Would be unreal. That was the cutest sneeze. It's like when Bambi sneezes. I don't know if that came across on the microphone. That was great. It's like heaven sneezes from above. It's just adorable.
That was nice.
Oh, man.
That really threw me.
Sorry.
All right.
Skippers.
Oh, fuck. Skippers. Good God. What are you looking at, mate? What are you thinking?
Vice-captain Dallin Watenis Lesniak. I'm so excited. I really am. If the Titans don't show up for this, could be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Dallin's going to have a field day. So Dallin and then my captain – Tell the other thing. I might – Dallin does go mad in the first game of the round and tweak my trades a little bit and trade out Josh Kerr because I held him anyway. Captain Tom Trbojevic. I was tossing – I'm still tempted by Reece Walsh, but I'm thinking Tommy Turbo against the Eels.
Great. Another week hiding behind the lounge. That'll be fun. I am thinking VC. I've got a feeling Lomax goes good, Anzac Day. I'm tossing up him as a VC.
Mm.
Talk to me.
For all the reasons you mentioned, the Dragons will be up for it. I think the Roosters who, look, their form's not the best, but it's still a damn good footy side on paper, and it's a damn good defensive side on paper. Mm. So I just think I like him more as a VC on the wing, just because if he can jag an easy try or two from just backline movements, that's where you can get his 130 plus where you would loop.
Yep.
I just think it's center in a tough matchup. If he can go 130 plus there, it's huge. So I think more on the wing.
You know what good defensive side says to me?
What?
Oh, fuck, let's kick to Lomax.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yes. The only thing is, if he jumps over someone and scores a try, it's 17 points, potentially 19 with a run and like a tackle break. They're not the bursting through try, line break for an extra 10, three tackle breaks for the 30 plus plays. So if you can jump over two people and score two tries, it's like 40 points.
Yeah, but it's 80 when he scores his fourth. This is what you just don't get, Timmy. Lomax is one I'm considering. The other one, mate, and I have VC'd him 3 weeks in the row to cut 3 weeks in a row to come up with absolutely fuck all. But against South Sydney and Amy Park, I don't mind Pappy.
100% Pappy.
Yeah, we keep saying that, but he's not scoring well. He's doing fuck all.
Let's be honest, he's just played good teams.
Sure.
Like the Dogs game, he got.
They scored 30 points last week. He scored 50.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like mate, yeah. I'm happy for you to go Lomax.
Oh, yeah, we'll see.
Even the Dogs game, you got like 78 or something. That was with a sin bin, so negate there, plus time off the field. I preferred you to go Lomax, put it that way.
And, yeah, because I'm playing Itero at fullback this week, it means that I'm not missing out on like a Turbo or someone, so I'm happy to go Pappy as well.
Pappy, VC or C for people terrifies me, put it that way.
And then I am thinking captain. I might back my boy Nath Cleary in.
Huge.
Oh, huge.
Huge, yeah.
Who's your next best option after that?
The other one that I probably should have mentioned too, I could go AFB against the Titans.
No.
Don't like it?
When was the last time AFB scored over 110?
Well, he scored 73 on the weekend. If he can crash through that middle.
Oh, 100. You're not going to loop 100, are you?
Might score a double.
You do you, bro.
No, I will. As I do every fucking year.
He had a 122 last year. That was with a try and a try assist. Even that's probably not looping.
He's having a big game, AFB.
Go AFB. Brace yourself. VC AFB.
He's having a big game.
Straight skipper him.
He's having a big game. Brace yourself. Hines is the other one, but I don't. I personally think Ricky Stewart gets a lot out of these Raiders in the next week or two when everyone's shitting on him. I think they get up for it. But, yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Nath Cleary as my El Capitano. Kat, got any ideas? Any early thoughts?
From a captaincy perspective, I am loving Turbo again. I think that Manly will put on a performance similar to what they did against Penrith at home at Four Pines. So I'm looking forward to that. And I don't know, I just, once again, it's the gut. It's all vibes. There's no legitimate, credible opinion here other than what my stomach is saying. And then my little pod play could be a bit of an SJ move as well.
Yeah, I like that. Surely like SJVC. Yeah.
Definitely SJVC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. All right, going to be an interesting week. I can't wait to not watch the Manly game again.
I love us going in the next few weeks with different fullbacks as well.
Yeah, once I've got Scotty Drinkwater next week, it's going to be a very, very interesting few weeks, mate. Can't wait for that. What are your thoughts on the Drinkwater play?
I like it. I'm so strong on the Walsh thing. I'm just like 616K. He's about 250K cheaper than Drinkwater. Obviously, Drink will drop a lot this week and it'll become – I just see Walsh as a player who, you know, a good – I said last night, a good cheapie earns 150K. I think Walsh is going to do that while scoring 80 to 100 points plus. the drinky play could pay off big time because that draw is so soft after this week.
Yeah.
Not for me, mate, but I can see myself going like Walsh to drinky in 3 or 4 weeks just before Origin, but yeah. I can see why you're doing it, but I think it's a no-brainer with Walsh.
Yeah, fair, yeah. So it takes on Penrith this week with a break-even of 156, so he'll get very cheap next week. Then they've got Dolphins, Titans, South Sydney, Tigers, Roosters, and they don't have a bye until round 16, and I don't believe drinky plays Origin, so... No. I like it. Very, very interesting. Okay. Are we done, Timbo?
We are, mate.
All done and dusted. Thanks for joining us once again on Beers and Breakevens. What did you talk about last night?
We went really deep into the fullback replacements for Caelan Ponga, obviously the big question of the week. So I went into all the different options you go with, not only the players, but things like what you've done, mate, moving Eero down there, going cheapy with a Trey Fuller or someone like that. So, yeah, big chat around that.
Any chance talk?
Heaps of chance talk.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on chance? We haven't spoken about him at all today.
He's had 60 runs in 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I've had 60 runs in 30 years. It's not a bad knock.
His base is incredible. The Warriors have a soft draw. He hasn't really had many attacking stats. He's averaging like 78 off the top of the melon so not a lot of attack to his name. He's a pretty good play.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, make sure you go and have a listen to SC Playbook from last night. We'll have the late show coming your way today. The late show will be a little bit earlier because this week's fucked, so we're just going to make it all work to get all the content out to you guys.
Does that just make it the show?
It's just the show.
Keep refreshing your potty feeds because there's going to be shit dropping all
over the place. There's going to be shit dropping all over the place and you're going to want to get in thick and fast. We might even drop them both at the same time. I don't know.
Whoa.
We'll work it out. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us again. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.